Hello and welcome to another edition of TDWI Radio News. My name is Eric Cavanaugh, web editor for TDWI, and I'll be your host for today's conversation with Mr. Mike Stonebreaker. And folks, we are very pleased to have Mike with us today. He is, as many of you probably know, a real visionary in the field of database management. He is a computer science professor with MIT, but he's also the chief technology officer with two new companies. One is called Vertica, and the other is called Streambase. So first of all, I'm going to turn the mic over to you, Michael, to give us the 60-second elevator pitch about what you're up to these days. So go ahead and let us know what's going on.
Thanks, Eric. So I've been doing research and teaching about databases for 35 years. And a million years ago, I built the database system Ingres. At the same time, a system called SystemR was built. Those were turned into products in the early 1980s by then startup companies and also IBM. And Oracle, IBM, and now Microsoft have been selling the same basic architecture for ever since that time, which is more than a quarter of a century. In that quarter of a century, there have been massive changes in technology, in the cost of main memory, flash memory, the cost of disks, the latency of disks, and so forth. There have also been a bunch of new application areas, such as the data warehouse market, did not exist in the early 1980s at all. And more recently, markets for high-speed stream processing and even for scientific databases. So the basic premise is that the current architecture sold by the main relational database players is legacy code. And in a collection of vertical markets of significant size, their code can be beaten by anywhere between one and two orders of magnitude in performance. So for the last nearly a decade, I have been looking at various vertical markets and how to make high-performance data engines that can clobber the existing elephants in those markets.
Okay, great. Now, I know in this new white paper that you have just issued, you talk about some of these new specialized architectures and how they compare to the old version you just mentioned of this sort of one-size-fits-all architecture. Can you maybe talk in non-technical terms a little bit more about this one-size-fits-all, and then maybe describe what you mean by these new specialized architectures? You know, what do they look like and what technologies do they use?
Sure. Thanks, Eric. So the elephants, as I'll call them, the main relational database players, have been selling one-size-fits-all, which is they have the hammer and everything looks like a nail. And as say, their architectures, as I already said, are legacy at this point. So how do you beat that architecture? Well, the current relational database management systems are all what are called row stores. So they store records on disk, and the next thing in storage is the next attribute in the same row. So you present the database system a row, and it puts it contiguously on disk. In the data warehouse market, that organization is a very bad idea. If you rotate your thinking 90 degrees and in storage have the next thing be the next row for the same column so that you organize the data as a collection of columns rather than as a collection of rows, you can clobber a row store in the data warehouse market. In contrast, in the online transaction processing market, a row store is a great idea. So why is a column store a terrific idea in the data warehouse market? What happens is most data warehouses have fairly fat tables, meaning ones with quite a number of columns in them. And the big problem is you issue ad hoc queries against tables with a lot of columns. A row store, you pick up a row out of storage, you read all the attributes that you don't want to get to the ones that you do want. In a column store, you just read the attributes you want, and that's all. And that architectural change is a huge advantage. The second thing about column stores is that data warehouses are usually very big. You know, think terabytes. So it pays to compress the data so that it takes up as little space as possible. In a column store, you're compressing a column of data where every value is the same data type. It's much easier to compress that data than if you have a row store where the next thing is some other data type. So compression works a lot better on a column store, and you read only the attributes that you really need. So those two factors result in anywhere between 1 and 2 orders of magnitude performance difference. So that's what I mean by a specialized architecture, is you got to think about your data completely differently. And so you can think of the current relational database vendors as selling an OLTP-oriented data system. And if you have a data warehouse, you can do a whole lot better. A similar argument applies in the real-time stream processing world, although what you have to do is quite different. It also applies in scientific and intelligence databases, but again, the things you have to do are quite different. So in these various markets, what you need to do to go fast varies. But as an example, in the warehouse market, rotating your thinking 90 degrees buys you a huge performance advantage.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. It's interesting to me to wonder, you know, why this paradigm has not shifted over this period of time. You know, so maybe in the rest of this discussion, if you want to toss in some thought around that, I'd love to hear that. You know, some folks might be thinking, you know, can't we just finely tune our existing data warehousing application? It sounds to me, just from what I've heard so far, that, you know, no, that's not even coming close to what you're talking about, because this is a foundational change that you're recommending. Maybe could you just comment on that a little bit, and why it's important to change the architecture and not just tinker with the existing system?
Sure. So the current relational elephants are selling what I call one-size-fits-all. And the persuasiveness of one-size-fits-all to a big company was driven home to me when I was briefly the chief technology of Informix Corporation in the late 1990s. At the time that I was at Informix, they were selling 4 different engines. And the sales force had a really hard time figuring out what to sell. The marketing department had a really hard time figuring out how to position 4 different things. Engineering was up to its eyeballs attempting to make these 4 systems look the same, and they didn't. So that just compounded the sales problem. So sales, marketing, and engineering are all optimized by having a single product. And that's what the relational guys are selling. And they're selling a row store. Now, in our discussion, there's a huge advantage to rotating it to a column store. Well, a single code line cannot be both a column store and a row store. That just doesn't work. So there isn't any way that the current relational database vendors can, you know, achieve anything like the performance of a column store. They are disincented from having multiple architectures by sales, marketing, and engineering problems. So since there's a small number of dominant vendors, they all want to sell one size fits all, and that one size is a row store. And my conjecture is that there are at least a half a dozen, interesting vertical markets where that are big enough that it will pay to develop a specialized engine that will outperform the elephants by 1 to 2 orders of magnitude. But that innovation is not going to come from the elephants because of the one-size-fits-all focus.
Yeah, that's really interesting stuff. I can see how the complexity of the bureaucracy essentially complicates the issue and, as you're suggesting, can quite literally prevent innovation and essentially enforce stagnation. That's really interesting stuff. You know, something that is really taking off these days, at least from our perspective, from what we've been hearing, we're certainly starting to hear some more customer stories around this, are these data warehousing appliances. And there are even a couple of companies that have struck a foray, if you will, into a business intelligence appliance where they are literally creating these hardware-software bundled boxes that are specifically designed to address analytical processes, reporting. Some of them even go into dashboarding and some stuff like that. Any thoughts you may have on that development would be welcome. And I'm curious to know, just as we're talking about this, it sounds like maybe a combination of an appliance vendor, a visionary appliance vendor, even perhaps a new company that might come out, coupled with maybe an open source project along the lines of what you're saying, could be an opportunity for someone to get a foothold in accomplishing what you're talking about, switching to this column-based approach, or column store, as you call it, instead of a row store. Can you talk a bit about that, and maybe what do you think about all that?
Sure. So let me decompose that question into two quite separate questions. The first question is, do you want to sell an appliance? And for some, and that just says that you do the system integration that bundles the operating system, a database system, and the hardware, and you go out to the customer and say, here's a pizza box, buy the pizza box. That's very attractive to low and to small and mid-sized companies because it gets rid of the system administration problems. So appliances are a great idea in certain segments of the market. If you go try and sell an appliance at the high end to somebody like one of the Wall Street elephants, such as Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs is running their own grid system that has north of 10,000 nodes in it. The last thing they want is somebody else's iron, sitting on their floor. So it's very customer specific, but packaging hardware, software, and a database system is certainly very interesting to, certain segments of the market. So that said, that's half of the problem. The other half of the issue is, should the pizza box have custom hardware in it? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Here's the simple, I'll make this as simple as possible. The if you look at somebody like Google or Akamai or Yahoo, their computing systems are composed of low-end boards. Think of them, if you want, as power PCs. Google powers an individual node for about $700. And when one breaks, they simply throw it away and replace it with a new one. So basically, compute on jelly beans, line up as many jelly beans as you want to get your job done. And basically, single board computers are a few hundred dollars and are almost to the point where they're disposable. Now, you put custom hardware on that single board computer, and the price goes to something like $10,000. So there's an order of magnitude difference in price. So you're all of a sudden now talking an order of magnitude more money. Now, for that to be interesting relative to the $700 object, you've got to get at least an order of magnitude better performance. What's more, you've actually got to do much better than that, because the natural inclination of any IT shop is to hate proprietary hardware, because that's a lock-in, long-term lock-in that nobody likes.
Yep.
So the problem is that, so let's just say you need 1.5 orders of magnitude in performance to put from your custom hardware to beat simply having the pizza box full of single board computers. And no one in the, none of the current appliance vendors who have custom hardware have that kind of performance advantage. So the hardware, the custom hardware they're using just isn't anywhere near fast enough to justify to justify putting it in the pizza box. So I think all the appliance vendors who are selling custom hardware have flawed business models, in the sense that their custom hardware does not give them enough of a performance boost to be interesting.
Yeah, but I'm sure that's probably why you hear a lot of them talking about just using commodity hardware.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of commodity hardware. I think, absolutely huge fan, because the price of commodity hardware is being driven to zero by the big hardware vendors. And the only secret to the situation is to get what's called horizontal parallelism, which is scale out by just lining up more jelly beans, rather than scale up, meaning by a more and more expensive, single computer system.
Yep, okay, that's great. Okay, so in this white paper that you've got, I've been reviewing, One Size Fits All, An Idea Whose Time Has Come and Gone. You have some very interesting benchmarks in here. Do you want to maybe talk a little bit more about the benchmarks that you found in your research?
Sure. So what's presented in this paper is three different markets. One of them is the data warehouse market. One is the high-speed stream processing markets, such as processing ticks on Wall Street. And the third is, scientific databases. And in each case, in the first two cases, we benchmarked commercial systems, the ones, in fact, from Vertica and Streambase, the companies that I'm involved in, against one of the large relational elephants product. And in the third case, in the scientific database market, we benchmarked a prototype that we're building at MIT against one of the relational elephants. In all three cases, there was between 1 and 2 orders of magnitude performance difference between what we could do and what a relational elephant can do. And the details, are in the paper. I'd be happy to go through one of the examples if that's what's appropriate. But
yeah,
what it is
feel free.
Is,
mm-hmm.
Sorry?
Yeah, go ahead and feel free.
Okay, so one of the benchmarks was a customer with a large data warehouse problem, with a terabyte-sized warehouse, came to us and said, I'm currently running on one of the proprietary hardware appliance vendors. Here is my terabyte of data. Here is my schema. Here are the queries, popular queries I run. How about you, Vertica, doing this benchmark and see how you can do. And by the way, here's the performance of the custom hardware appliance vendor on my queries on his box. So we implemented his schema, loaded his terabyte of data, and ran the exact same workload that the appliance vendor ran. And the results were that Vertica ran an average of a factor of 25 faster. So response time to queries was a factor of 25 better. But just as interesting, the appliance vendor required $300,000 worth of his hardware, and we ran the queries on a $2,500 PC. So the so there's basically two orders of magnitude on hardware cost, another one and a half orders of magnitude, you know, in performance. So it's kind of three and a half orders of magnitude difference, you know, in price performance. And so the this is the kind of dramatic performance differences. You know, I mean, you're just in a totally different sandbox by doing something other than a conventional row store.
Wow.
And by the way, you know, this particular appliance vendor and all of the data warehouse, other data warehouse appliance vendors are all using conventional row stores. So they have the same software implementations as the elephants.
Hey, I know that folks who are going to be hearing this are going to be thinking to themselves, okay, where do I sign? So maybe could you talk a little bit about your companies, these two new companies, Vertica and Streambase, and help some folks understand, you know, how far off is this stuff? Is it 6 months? Is it a year? You know, when can somebody realistically expect to go out and purchase a system using this kind of technology?
Okay, so so let me start with Streambase, which is in the stream processing market. Streambase was started in 2003, so it's 3.5 years old at this point. They are shipping the fourth instantiation of their system and are selling very, very successfully on Wall Street and very successfully to the three-letter agencies in the federal government, and have starting to enjoy considerable success selling to people who want to do real-time, who are the large internet commerce vendors who want to do real-time ad placement and things like that. As well as, interestingly enough, to people who have very large multiplayer internet games who need to maintain the state of very large games in real time. So people with demanding real-time problems, Streambase is selling very successfully too. I would consider them at this point a fairly mature company. And the their sales target for 2007 is into eight digits. So they're doing fine. They have a solid commercial product. Vertica was started about a year later, so they're about 2 years old at this point. And they are shipping version one right now. It's in the hands of about a dozen customers. And they are actively looking for others, but as I say, it's version one rather than version three. So I think it's available. It works well. It's reliable. It's blindingly fast. And if your readers are interested in either of these systems, www.vertica.com or www.streambase.com will get you a whole bunch more information.
Well, that's great stuff, Mike. Thank you very much for your time today. Folks, that's all the time we have for this TDWI Radio News interview, but we are definitely going to try to keep up with Mike and his new companies, Vertica and Streambase. And, of course, we always encourage you to hop online to tdwi.org for all the latest about information management, business intelligence, data warehousing, business performance management, all these technologies and disciplines that can help your organization manage information to make better decisions. Thanks again for all your time, Mike, and we hope to catch up with you soon. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.